This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Doing great. Had number 9 grandchild last Saturday, so we're growing.
You did personally, or hopefully it was a daughter-in-law?
It was a daughter.
Okay.
So we're safe.
All right. I think you had some homework from last week. What was supposed to do?
Santa Ana was 82 years old. He died in Mexico City and was pretty much kind of a has-been.
Yeah.
Really, you know.
Kind of a derelict, wasn't he?
Well thought of when he died.
That's what I thought, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So that was the end of him.
Yeah, 82 and a has-been, which is better than it never was.
That's right.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
So today we're going to go to the Mountain Men era.
Uh-oh, look out for naked guys scaring Indians.
Not this time.
Okay.
This one is in 1832, there was a rendezvous, and probably the biggest one that was ever held at a place called Pierre's Hole in Idaho, which is in the west side of the Tetons.
Really?
A lot of people think of Jackson Hole, but this is Pierre's Hole, and a hole was basically referred to as a kind of an open meadow-type area where there was water and game and one thing another where they could meet, but it had to be a big area.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pierre's Hole is on the west side of there. So now William Sublette had arrived with a pack train all the way from St. Louis, and the trappers and the mountain men who worked with the Rocky Mountain Fur Company, they were in good spirits because they had outdistanced and out-trapped the American Fur Company, which was their rival. Now, there was only one thing that was kind of diminishing their pleasure, and that was the fact that old Tom Fitzgerald, who was a veteran trapper and one of the partners in the Rocky Mountain Company, was missing. He had made the trip with from St. Louis with Sublette, but he struck out on his own when they reached the area near present-day Casper, a place called Red Bluff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this had been 18 days before, and he had planned to go ahead of Sublette into Pierre's Hole and make sure everything was ready, that the trappers were on hand and ready for the festival and the trade. So the question, what happened to Tom Fitzgerald? Well, he was an important guy. I mean, he was the mountain man of the West. And no one could believe that he'd met with an accident or death. And so they figured he must have been holed up somewhere or wandering around the mountains. And someone suggested, as a precaution, maybe they ought to send out some search parties just in case something had happened to the guy. So now let's go back to Fitzgerald. Like I say, he had left Sublette planning on going ahead, and he was pretty confident. He was optimistic. He'd begun his journey from Red Bluffs. He had made the trip a lot of times, and he was thoroughly familiar with the route. But Fitzgerald was kind of a loner. He believed that a man traveling by himself could travel faster and safer. He could choose his own trail, set his own pace, stop when he wanted to without any obligation or consulting with a partner or several guys. And then from a safety standpoint, obviously, one man can hide from a group of Indians a lot better than a party of men.
Yeah, so, but I would much rather have two or three or four, maybe 175 guys there in case there's an attack.
I tend to agree with you there. Like I said, these guys, these mountain men, we've talked before, they were a different breed.
Oh, yeah.
Altogether.
Yeah.
So, anyway, like I say, he was kind of, I'm going to say, maybe a little overconfident, but for the first 3 or 4 days, he made good time up the valley of the Sweetwater, living on jerky and pemmican. He didn't build any cook fires because, you know, that might be detected by the Blackfeet Indians, and they were always dangerous. And like I say, he kind of got a little maybe overconfident, and he crossed South Pass, and he hadn't encountered any Indians, friendly or otherwise. So there was no warnings, you know, that had been sent out from the rendezvous. So, again, he was feeling pretty good about this. One day he was a little tired and a little saddle sore, and he decided to rest and eat at the same time. And so he was leisurely chewing away on a good-sized hunk of jerky when he heard a little snorting and scuffling and of shale rock behind him. He turned around and saw a great big huge grizzly bear bearing down on him at full speed. Now, recognizing that this was probably too late to establish a good relationship with this bear, he decided that he would abandon his jerky and run for his horse.
Why would one want to establish a good relationship with a bear? Please explain that to me.
That's just what I'm reading here. That's what the story says. He decided it wasn't a good time to start shaking hands and saying, how are you?
I believe it.
So here he is. Here's the bear chasing him. He's running towards his horse. Now, if you're the horse, you're thinking, okay, this is, I'm not looking like this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the horse had a mind of its own and decided to take off for other parts of the country. And Fitzgerald, he already had one foot in the stirrup, but was basically deposited flat on his back.
Uh-huh, this is not good.
Now, fortunately, though, the grizzly bear stopped to investigate the big hunk of jerky that Fitzgerald had been chewing on, and it gave him time to grab his rifle and kill the bear.
Oh, a good end to the story.
Yeah, so, but the saga continues. Do you want to do your ad right now, Zeb?
Well, I just can't. I thought you'd never ask, as a matter of fact. I don't know if I can do it. I'm just shaking in anticipation to find out what happened to the bear and the jerky. Hold on just one moment. Would you like to start earning $30,000 to $40,000 a year in as little as 4 or 5 weeks? Well, then you'd better call Lucky Born right now at CSI's New Sage Truck Driving School in Burley. And they've got new lower prices for their 4-week program. And if you're having trouble with tuition money, just give Lucky a call and they can explain the Sage student loan option. All of this and more for helping you to become a professional truck driver. You call Lucky Born right now at the new CSI Truck Driving School in Burley, 878-5802. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as the saga continues, here's Dr. History and the story of Smokey the Bear.
Smokey the Bear is now dead.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so the next day, Tom begins his descent of the divide following one of the streams that cascade down the side of the drainage area, and it's a canyon with high walls. Now, Fitzgerald realizes that this could be a dangerous place to be caught, because if you're in a kind of a narrow canyon, you really can't go left or right. And he kind of hesitated, but, to turn back meant losing a lot of valuable time, and he wanted to get to the rendezvous. So he was a little wary. He was a little concerned about this. But as he was going down this narrow canyon down in the bottom, all of a sudden he was aware of the presence of some Indians.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I got to ask a question.
Okay.
I'm assuming, by the way you're talking, that he had recaptured his horse.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Just worried
so
about it.
He was on horseback.
Okay. And the bear's dead, right?
What's that?
And the bear's dead.
The bear's dead.
And the bear had eaten all the jerky.
Had eaten up most of the jerky.
Whew, I got that cleared up. Okay.
So here he is. He becomes aware of some Indians, a band of Gros Ventres Indians. They came galloping around the bend in the canyon, and so all of a sudden, Tom decides he better take off.
I would imagine.
Now, here's his... keep in mind, he's been on this horse that had been ridden hard during the long trip clear from Missouri.
Oh, my goodness.
So this horse was not in, top shape. And he took off on the run, but not before he got spotted by the Indians. So the chase was on.
Oh, boy.
Now, for a short time, despite this hard climb up the canyon, Fitzgerald actually lengthened the distance between him and the Indians. But pretty soon, and you've been on horses, pretty soon you can tell your horse is kind of getting tired.
Yeah.
And so he began looking for some kind of escape from the Indians.
Uh-huh.
Now, so, again, he was aware that the Indians would eventually wear down his tired horse, and Fitzgerald decided on a pretty desperate move.
I think I know what it is, but I'm not about to share this cliffhanger.
Okay, all right. So, urging his horse to the limit of its endurance, he came around a sharp bend, and he started looking over the sheer cliff walls on his left and on his right. And pretty soon he saw a little spot. I guess that's all he could call it. And he made up his mind. So leaving his horse on the run, He landed on a stone that could not show traces of any footprint, and he bounced up the hillside before his pursuers could come around the bend. Well, this little spot opened up into a small cave.
Uh-oh.
Now, this little cave had been kind of a winter home for some wild animals, but it safely concealed him from the Indians, and he watched them just go by one right after another, chasing after his horse. So, as soon as they went by, he hurried up and grabbed a bunch of leaves and branches and pulled it in front of the cave. So here he is inside this dark interior of the cave, which and he pulled, let's say, branches and leaves and stuff in front of it. Well, pretty soon he heard the yells announcing that they had captured his horse, and then the Indians began to search for him.
Uh-oh.
Now, it wasn't just the brave. They got the whole village, men, women, and children. They arrived, and they took turns exploring every possible place that he could be hiding.
Oh, this
but
is where the...
his camouflage was so effective that no one suspected where he was.
Oh, my.
Because, like I say, he pulled these branches and old leaves in front of him, and there were several times that they stopped so close to the cave, he could have actually reached out and touched them.
Whew.
So he's within arm's length of these guys looking for him, and I don't know, it kind of surprised me they didn't see this cave, but must have been pretty well hid.
Yeah.
And probably just a small... you know, crawl-in type cave.
Yeah, a bear cave.
Yeah, bear, a small bear.
Yeah.
But anyway, as each hour passed, pretty soon the smell got pretty bad. I mean, this cave wasn't ventilated. There was old bones and pieces of rotted flesh on the floor, and it almost became too much for old Fitzgerald, but not enough. I mean, he'd seen the treatment that some white men had when captured by the Indians, so... bad as the air was, old Fitzgerald, he was still a free man, and he intended to remain so. Now, by this time, he was starting to get a little thirsty, and he was getting a little hungry, but he stayed in his hideout until the Indians called off their search that evening. Well, late that night, he made an attempt to escape, figuring the Indians would camp upstream. Well, they didn't.
Oh, those sneaky Indians.
Yeah, and so he made his way to a small stream and is able to get a drink of water, and then he headed downstream. Well, there were the Indians. So he headed back to his cave. Well, the morning of the second day, the Indians started searching again. They were just really looking for this guy. They knew he had to be there. And so they sent the young kids, the young guys up along the walls of the canyon. The older people were watching. And again, they didn't find him. So, and again, he was getting pretty thirsty and pretty hungry. Well, finally the Indians decided that somehow he'd gotten away and made an escape. So they abandoned their search, and they turned their attention to the ordinary camp life that they did. And Fitzgerald had a kind of a nice view of the Indian camp. He actually watched his horse win several races that they were having by the guy who had gotten his horse. So late that second night, he again slipped out of hiding. He detoured around the village, and this time he traveled as far as he possibly could. Okay, now he's not out of this yet.
I didn't think so.
He hid himself in a thicket near the creek, and these same Indians came by as a hunting party, but they'd forgotten about him by now, so he was pretty safe.
Won't they ever leave him alone?
Well, he goes farther than that. But so the third night, he resumed his travels, and he followed the creek to the point where it emptied into a bigger stream. And he figured, you know, I got to get out of here, so he built himself a kind of a crude raft. He got on it with his rifle and had a bag with ammunition and some other necessities. But he was kind of anxious to escape, and he kind of misjudged the strength of this stream. And his improvised raft was carried downstream to the head of some rapids. Well, the whitewater rapids lifted that raft onto some rocks and just totally destroyed it.
Oh, my.
In the middle of the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So Fitzgerald made his way to shore. He lost everything except his shirt, his vest, a belt, and it had a sturdy Green River knife. Now, the knife is a good weapon at close quarters, but, you know, if you're trying to kill a deer or an antelope or something, it just doesn't work.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, he was fully aware of his dim chances for survival, but he fought on for the next 2 days, fourth and fifth since his encounter. He made his way downriver toward the rendezvous, and he was living on roots, buds, trees, bushes, even weeds and grass. And he struggled on, getting weaker from hunger, you know, from hunger and everything. And, well, on the fifth day, he came upon a real feast. Well, wait a minute. No, let me back up. On the fifth evening, he was treed by some wolves. okay? They circled the tree all night, tearing at the bark, clawing at the ground, burying the roots to try to get the tree to fall down. So here he is spending the whole night up in a tree with these wolves after him.
See, that's all the more reason we shouldn't have brought those doggone wolves back to Idaho. I told you!
That's right. Okay, so finally the wolves left. So the next day, now he's going along and he finds the partially eaten remains of a buffalo that had been killed by the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's gorging himself on his first real meal. And this sounds like a real good meal, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But it gave him enough strength to carry on his struggle for survival. And anyway, the farther he descended the river, the more scant the vegetation grew, and he finally just collapsed. He just plain out collapsed. Well, I told you that they'd sent out some people from the rendezvous to try to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, there were two Iroquois trappers that had gone out from the rendezvous, and they found him.
Oh, my.
Well, he was brought back to Pierre's hole, and he was so out of it, he was kind of a raving lunatic. He couldn't answer any questions. He could hardly talk. His eyes wouldn't focus.
Sounds like a liberal from the Obama administration.
That's right. No intelligent answers to questions. Like I said, his eyes wouldn't focus. But like all mountain men, old Fitzgerald, he had good recuperative powers, and after several good meals of good old fat buffalo meat and rest, he recovered enough to tell the adventures of his past 18 days. Now, one thing, a distinguishing characteristic that happened was to mark him for the rest of his life, as a result of being the bear, the Indians, the wolves, his hair turned snow white.
Oh.
And that was Tom Fitzgerald, who, like I say, one of the original great mountain men, and that's why his hair turned white.
I'll be darned. You know, somewhere I had heard semblances of that story, and I wasn't sure about the name Tom Fitzgerald, but what was the mountain man, or who was the real person that ran his horse off a cliff? I mean, there's been movie depictions of this, but the Indians are after this guy, and supposedly he's a mountain man, and he ran his horse off a cliff into a mountain lake. You remember who that was?
You know, I don't. The only thing I can remember is the old movie, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Jumped off, but I don't know of a guy that ran his horse.
Yeah, they had good stuntmen for that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, this rendezvous was actually the biggest rendezvous that was held. It was actually over there by Driggs and kind of in the area between Driggs and Tetonia. And actually, there was an area of 7 square miles.
Oh, my.
They had 400 mountain men, 108 lodges of Nez Perce, 80 lodges of Flatheads, and over 3,000 horses.
Ooh.
And so this was probably the biggest rendezvous that ever took place anywhere. But, like I say, it's over there kind of on the west side. And kind of a sad note to this whole thing. After the rendezvous was over, you know, they had traded. They had gotten their goods. They had horse races with the Indians and just pretty much had a good time. But on the way out, there's an incident that happened called the Battle of Pierre's Hole.
I remember that.
Okay, and unfortunately, there was a couple of trappers that shot one of the chief Indians, and they had a battle that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of a bad deal because it was initiated by the trappers.
Yeah.
But about 26 Indians were killed, and about a dozen traders and trappers had been killed, and it was just due to, you know, kind of stupidity, really.
Yeah. Hey, we have a caller with a question real fast. We've only got a minute left. Caller, real quick, go.
Yes, hey, Zeb, I don't know if this is fit, but there's a book called Seven Miracles That Saved America. It's about how America came to be. I don't know if those would fit into the program, but it is truly amazing, those stories, and I'll hang up. Thanks.
If it'll fit, Dr. History will make it work.
Actually, I have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think I may have that in my library. I just haven't read that. But
okay.
I'm familiar with that book. I just I just haven't read it yet.
I'll tell you what, now that was a good story. I appreciate that. Tom Fitzgerald, Mountain Man.
Yeah.
And his hair turned pure white, and they called him Snow White, and then he developed the Seven Dwarfs.
I don't think you'd do that to his face.
Okay.
Okay. Not with that knife he carries.
All right. Hey, you did it again. You hit a home run out of the park. Great story this morning.
Well, I always love these the Mountain Men guys. They were a different breed.
Yeah, but every time you have a story about Mountain Men, they're always losing their clothes. What's going on here?
Well, you know, you discard the stuff you don't need, I guess.
I guess. There's a question of what you need and what you want, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Anyway, Dr. History, God bless you for a wonderful story. Thanks for listening to Dr. History, brought to you by the new CSI Sage Truck Driving School in Burley with Lucky Bourne, 878-5802. And before we go, a little teaser for next week. What is the subject going to be?
You know, it's such a mystery that I just can't divulge that at this point.
That was smooth.
You have a good day, Zach.
All right. God bless. Take care.
Bye.
Oh, I love that segment. Thank you very much, Dr. History.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.